is a production of Cornell University.
So I'm going to use two examples, and I'm going to give you what comes with the fee and kind of a fee made. So let's use the example of students who might sprain an ankle and find themselves in a connect because they've hurt themselves. If they're on the student health insurance plan, by the time we were to look at the medical visit, the x-ray, the brace, and everything else, the cost of that visit, actually, he's saying, is going to run about, $350. For the student who's on the student health insurance plan, all they pay is a $10 copay. Because their access to the doctor, their access to x-ray, their access to the brace is all covered as part of their prepayment. If they have an out-of-network, if they have other insurance, they will need to pay a time of service, not the $350, because we end up negotiating, everybody ends up negotiating with insurance plan and providers, but it's $240 that they have to pay out of pocket. And for some students, that results that they're not getting treatment for that sprained ankle because they don't have $240 to pay. Some may get reimbursed later by their insurance company. Others may not because they have not have an effort. And one of the biggest challenges we face is the shrinking networks that exist in our region of New York. Now, if that student next year had that same issue, their charge would be $10. Because part of the prepayment of the $350, and this is now where I'm going to give you a list, it will now cover physical therapy visits, it will cover preventive health visits, it will cover medical procedures. It will cover the medical supplies related to the visit, so like a brace associated with an ankle. It would cover x-rays. It would cover in-house lab tests. We don't do all of our own lab tests, but we do a bunch of that. And it would cover sexually transmitted infections, for example. Those are all things now, if you do not have SHIP, you are paying for. If you have SHIP, that's covered in what you pay a part of your premium. If you're on private insurance, we would be billing you for those. Those now will be covered on that $350. So that's an example. Now, have we done a good job of getting any of that out? Absolutely not. And so I would really, whether you agree or not, I understand that some will never philosophically agree, but I would really welcome your feedback, especially professional students. I want to talk about the difference between grad and professional students. But especially professors, what's our best way for communicating the fact that by this repayment, here's what's going to change in terms of what you will no longer pay out of pocket. That still may not make you very happy about it, but there is an increased benefit to the student from the repayment as opposed to just an extra $350. We can tell from our data, it's perfect, but about 30% of the professional students are not buying our health insurance, 70% are. And on the graduate side, it's about 10%, because for our PhD students who are financially supported, health insurance funds come through that. So it's those numbers that we really need to be able to communicate as clearly as we can what is the benefit for the increased cost. I don't pretend to think that will assuage all the concerns, but I would agree if all you know about is $350, it's really concerning.
Right, especially because for a lot of students who are not on Cornell SHIP, they are on their parents' plan because that is the most financially feasible option for them.
And some of those plans, you know, you asked the question, which is a very fair question, why couldn't we do more with those other health policies? We can't control, you know, the other policies. And increasingly, what we're seeing, and David would know this better as a doc, two things are happening. One is networks are shrinking. And Ithaca, New York is not an ideally located place for out-of-network for many of our plans. And the second thing is increasingly their employers, of course, would be an example, is increasing the high deductibility, which means that more students have to pay out-of-pocket. If your family has been able to build up a health savings account, that's great. But quite frankly, you know, a number of our students come from families where they don't have a health savings account. They have very high deductibles. And they are making decisions about the treatment they're getting based upon the cost. So that's a problem. Now, if you have examples of folks who are on our health insurance, for so many people that cause. You know, I would love to hear more about that, and I'd love to have our patient advocate know more about that, because that sounds to me like a good business, and I'd like to see how we can.
So, for example, if you could send us with the name redacted, you know, some examples of that, we would personally follow up on it. If people are uncomfortable, obviously their name shouldn't be here no matter what. Just the example.
Okay, that
would be great. If you could send it right to me, that would be great. And please send that stuff that you sent to the president, because I'm traveling starting tomorrow on this way. I can see it on the north.
Thank you. I have a follow-up question. So, for the increased revenue you're working at, what percentage of that is resulting from this healthy, or are there other sources?
There's still an allocation from the university, and I'm embarrassed I didn't bring those numbers with me, but it's a sizable proportion of the overall budget is from the allocation. There's also capitation payments, and do you happen to know?
So there are
a minority of the total budget.
So So we haven't totaled up the full increase in next year's budget. We don't yet know what they're going to do in our budget allocation, but we do know, for example, we will get an increase allocation related to the salary improvement program for some of our students. There will be some incremental cost. There may be an incremental cost on the health insurance premium. We're hoping, because we're now self-insured, we don't have to pay an insurance company to manage our student health insurance, that we will see that cost go down. And this, the increase of the use of capitation will just slide in, so we don't, we're certainly not going to spend $50 if we don't have premium, which is a trade-off. And then there is a portion of UNED that does occupational medicine and other things that are not related to students. It's about a third of the 25% of the budget. It's about a quarter of the budget is not student related. Visitors, occupational medicine, whatever. And you know, we're always looking at those costs as well. So about $15.5 million of the roughly $21 million budget at Gannett focuses on core student services. About 65% of that comes from allocation. About 45% comes from capitation and the income and fee and other fee for service. And what's going to happen because of this fee payment, our fee for service will drop. Because you won't be paying those out of pocket students, those out of network students won't be paying separately with the grade, but be prepaying for that. So there's some swapping of money. It gets a little complicated as we go over.
But maybe if you're comfortable, maybe you can send to Richard and Kay. Those numbers in an email, and then you could distribute it to the GPSA just so you have it in front of you. But those are these three sources, the allocation, the capitation, and the fee for that three-fourths or so of the funds that have to do directly with students, not occupational health and other non-student things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions?
It sounds like I've heard from the stories about how it was in the old days, but you don't want to hear those.
I guess moving on to a different issue, transportation has been an issue on campus, especially highlighting the past couple of weeks when we've seen two members of Cornell community killed in accidents and numerous safety issues occurring on campus. This has been an ongoing issue. It's not only been closed just on issues. Also, building on crosswalks, core lighting on campus, a number of things that have kind of accumulated, and I'm wondering what steps the administration is taking to combat these issues.
On the follow-up to the tragic accidents, I haven't gotten those investigative reports yet. I'm assuming they're not done either. I'll get them right away from Vice President for Facility Services, Q1. And we'll make sure the community sees that when you have it. On the issues that you brought up, there's no question that we have more work to do. The lighting is a peculiar one. It has to be dealt with. We've gotten, Dr. Murphy likes to sort of describe it as a cyclical issue, but we have a lot of concern broadly in the community to reduce the carbon footprint and change the sort of lighting that we use and so on. And of course, there's a lot of concern about lighting, especially in the long parts of the year where daylight is short. And so this came up multiple times, as you said, over the years, especially in the last year. I think the reason it came up more in the last year is partly because of concerns about safety on campus related to sexual assault and other safety issues, partly because the facility services folks, to their credit, have gone out to solicit opinion from students, and they're working on finding a way to improve lighting in several areas. Some of those areas do not deal with the problem that you're citing. Some of them are on campus, around light slope in areas that are more pedestrian areas. But in looking at what happened, in addition to the specifics of those cases, they're also looking at crosswalks, speed limits at crosswalks. I know that there's some conversation that I heard recommended by other student leaders about speed bumps, you know, put in prior to the crosswalks in the direction of traffic. And I don't have any concrete reports to give you right now. Maybe Susan has one.
There have been two initiatives that have gone on in the joint that have formalized. So historically, the crime prevention unit of Cornell has done a walk around on a yearly basis related to the lighting. We're going to see if we can't find a way to formalize that. In part, bringing back a committee that used to exist some years ago, and Chief of Police got it going from correcting, but it was basically bike and pedestrian safety focus at the committee. That has been kind of in a defunct status, and so we are going to have Chief of Police, Kathy Zillner, and Director of Transportation Services, Richard Brady, to pull together a restart of that committee. I don't think we've yet figured out all the right places to staff it. Clearly, GBSA, NSA, University of Communications, Transportation will be part of it. And we will have to figure out a way to involve the city. You know, speed bumps, we might be very happy to put speed bumps in a lot of places. If they're not our road, the city won't let us. And so that became an issue that we faced when we were dealing with North Campus, trying to know if we were going to be increasing our pedestrian traffic by building new residences. So, our time frame is this semester to get that committee up and functioning fairly quickly, and I just don't know quite when Director Brady and Chief Zillner will have this together, but I'm sure we'll be reaching out to Richard and also to their student perspective is very important.
In fact, understanding that time's moving along this semester, why don't I just publicly invite you to send us directly, again, ideas that you have that we can share with Brady and Donor, because I'm sure they'll appreciate it. Despite the fact, Richard and Kay, that I'm sure they'll reach out to you in some formal fashion. By the way, if you have specific, I don't mean just you, but collectively, if anybody has specific ideas, if there was some way to organize them so we could get sort of, you know, one group that you guys think is somewhat representative of GPSA concerns, but if not, you can just send it to me directly and I'll send it to both Brady and Zone.
And I would just say, you know, for any of the students that you know that might be working on the transportation services subcommittee of the GPPI, this is
the proposal that's good to start. Chief Zone is here. Anything you want to add to that, Casey? That's Chief Doctor, don't come on me.
Don't email me.
No, email me, I'll get it for you. Thank you. Sorry. Oh, we have time for one more question. For comment or advice for two short timers? Yeah.
So I was recently doing my taxes for this past fiscal year, and I noticed that my fellowship money is $1098. Whereas it was a W-2, I'd be able to say put away some money towards an IRA. So my question is, what's the justification for having it at the 1098?
I don't actually know.
This
is not a Cornell specific issue, but I can't. The only reason I know is because my sister does taxes, and she was commenting to me about it. And I said, really? That's kidding. Let us get back to you. I don't plan to be tax.
So she sent it to you, Alexander, or to Richard, or sent it to Richard?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that okay? Think you're the. I guess we have time for one more quick one, despite what Dr. Murphy said. Okay. If you have follow-up thoughts on these
things,
sorry. Please.
You don't do that.
I'll be around campus a lot, but yeah, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, that's just into the relationship and
thank you. Okay, hope you guys have a long meeting.
On behalf of the GBSA, I'd like to thank David Scort and Susan for their long-time service. It's been a pleasure to work with them, and I know that I'll be continuing to see them over the next few months. So thank you again for coming by and addressing all of our concerns. Then move into reports of officers and committee updates. So we'll start with the executive committee, and I'll actually turn over to Catherine.
Yes. So we have an office hour with President Scorton last Friday. So some of the issue was addressed by him just now, such as the healthy, which besides the comment from President Scorton, there will also going to be, I think, open discussion later on involving all the students, including SA as well, regarding the issue. And then in addition, let me see. So students also raised concern about transparency in terms of like, determining how the healthier in general what like the university is doing and hope to have more transparency, and that was an ongoing talk. And in addition, more related to us, students from Weill Cornell is going to come to Charter Day later, and I think they're asking for students to host them during the time, which is, I think, in April, is it?
April 24th.
Yeah, so if you're interested, let me know. It's a chance to connect with your fellow students in New York City. And then that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wanted to, you know, thank you for bringing up the students from Weill coming up. Both Weill and New York City Tech students are very interested in coming up for Charter Day. So, again, if you would be interested in hosting some students, then I encourage you to get in touch with me and let me know, you know, how much space you have, whatnot. Just like their other graduate students will be happy with just the couch. They just want to be here for, you know, take part in the celebration and all that. And I'll be sending out an email soon for the next few weeks to send out to people within your field to try and solicit some prospective hosts. So I hope you guys will take up that opportunity. For operations and staffing, Tej is not here, so we'll move to, oh, Sid is not able to be here, and he told me he has no updates for appropriations, so we'll go on to communications. Megan.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Finance Commission, and Huang should be on the slide, actually.
So last week we had a budget meeting of the Finance Commission, and we distributed about $10,000. And that was about less than $5,000 for the rest of the year. So this might be the next meeting we will have. So if you want to do a Black Monday, that's the last chance.
Okay. And student advocacy.
We met last Wednesday, and we are traveling towards downsizing our non-disruptive curriculum, limited background. And we're also looking at possibly having a theme related to communication on campus. And we'll be in the next Wednesday.
And faculty awards? Diversity. I hope so. Diversity and international students. Okay. Programming board. And one more quick update from me for the Sustainability Committee. The Sustainability Committee had its first meeting last week, and I thought as well, it was more sort of a brainstorming session, figuring out what directions, what initiatives the committee will be taking on. We are looking to meet again the first week of March, and I'll be sending out a broad announcement for that as that gets closer. So with that, we'll move into elections. I promise we'll go a meeting without an election this semester. But Teja, since he has taken on responsibilities of Vice President of Operation, wishes to step down as the University Assembly representative, though he will continue on the Campus Infrastructure Committee. So now we will host an election for University Assembly representative. And are there any nominations or volunteers? All right. Jeffrey has volunteered. Are there any other nominations or volunteers for the position of UA representative? All right. Seeing none, I will ask for unanimous consent to approve Jeffrey in his old position, now new position, of University Assembly representative. All right. Seeing no opposition, congratulations, Jeffrey. Which takes us to resolution number 6, and I would like to ask Christine to either come down or speak from there, and she can speak to this resolution. And I turn the floor over to you.
So you may remember last semester, I did a presentation on a resolution about graduate position for advanced students. And at the center around the PowerPoint use of that presentation, along with Dr. Kathy Dunlap, the minutes for the CAP update. But just to do another recap of why the emphasis for the student resolution is that back in the spring 2013, we put together that resolution to support, actually very support for students who don't have fifth year funding, who don't guarantee funding. And in the subsequent year, as part of the GPSA criteria, we had a lot of conversations with graduate school about exactly what that support would look like. And as of this past fall, the graduate school has implemented a new policy of reduced tuition for students in their fifth and seventh year that we applied by. And so we're very happy with that graduate school did make a motion on this. However, there are still some very concerned about what this exactly looks like, especially what impact will be on international students. And so this is not a long resolution because we're trying to draw together a lot of evidence about concerns that are still there, that the students for whom all funding has gone out, they're still retaining about new tuition rates are also about $12,000 per year combined with activity and the membership. And that I think that we're still much higher than the rest of our parent education, which I listed here. And also that's the main concern is also the supply of international students. You have to worry about the visas, and also to be unable to work off campus at all in order to offset that piece. And so this resolution is basically calling on the graduate school to basically track what this use of institutional tuition policy will be, and the number of tracks, like what, how much they actually have. And then after tracking and reporting these things, reconsider and reduce what their tuition rate would be, but also to extend the possibility of reduced tuition beyond the seventh year of the program, and other attention raising activities that should continue to inform DGSs and graduate skills assistants about what tuition policies are, what happens if tuition funding runs out, which in looking at the annual reports from the graduate school, that is a possibility, especially here in the social sciences. And so, this is rather a long message, so I hope I understood.
Thank you. So now we'll open it up to any questions or comments on the resolution. Leading up to So, are there any comments on that amendment, not the resolution as a whole? Okay. Any other comments on this amendment? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the amendment, not the resolution itself yet? All right. Is there a second? All those in favor of approving this amendment, or I'll ask unanimous consent to approve the amendment. Is there anyone opposed? All right. Seeing no opposition, that amendment has passed, and now we move on to discussing the resolution as a whole again. I can figure out how to do this.
Someone proposed edit. The fifth whereas clause on the first page, whereas departments and external agencies should be are prohibited instead of and prohibited.
So just to get this out of the way, were there any other grammatical corrections that anyone noticed in this resolution that we can kind of bundle these into one amendment? All right. Seeing none, are there any, is there a motion to approve this amendment? Second? Okay. I ask for unanimous consent. Is anyone opposed? All right. Seeing none, that amendment has passed. Okay. Any further comments or discussion? Is there a motion to call the question? All right. Is there a second? All right. Then we will vote by placard, voting members only. So all those in favor of the resolution. All right. And are there any opposed? And any abstained? All right. So the resolution passes 13 in favor, 0 against, 1 abstaining. Okay. So, all right, and then that will take us into open forum. Is there anything for open forum? Yes.
I just have a question. I was wondering, what the essential mechanism is for getting information out to tell departments and programs that they have seats and such? So I was talking to someone from the SEPA program here, and they have a seat in GPSA, but no one in the program seems to be aware that they have one.
Mm-hmm.
So what mechanisms there are to communicate with departments who don't send a representative to meetings regularly, like what kind of avenue communication there are?
If you want to...
So I think in general that's one going out straight from the graduate school to the DGS or like the departments. In terms of us, what we can do is we can contact DGS most of the time. But we haven't been regularly doing that, I would say. So that might be something that we have to, like, I will have to do that, like, for information. So that's like the thing that we have to do. And one thing is now we have bus going to the students, so students probably know the existence of GPSA if they read the bus. That's like another question that we have. It's maybe we can publicize the bus so that people know about GPSA, and then maybe they will think about sending representatives here.
Okay.
And that can help.
So then that's two separate processes. It goes to the DGS, and the DGS has a
sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll also say that we have a presence at both the general orientation in the fall and the orientation in the spring, and at those places we tend to try and get as much interest in GPSA as possible, which I know not everyone goes to orientation, but that's getting the name of the GPSA out there and getting more participation from fields that are not participating is sort of an ongoing problem, which we're always trying to find new solutions to.
Kind of throwing off that point, my experience on the GPSA is that most people who find out that they are lacking the GPSA because you can't get field funding, which is like a free $200 to your field organization. You can't get that funding if you don't have your representative here. And then they're like, why don't we have a representative? Why don't we have a student organization? So we can contact them and then contact about starting a student departmental organization so they can receive the funding, because I mean, there's no reason to deny that. It's easy to get $200 if you get.
Yeah. Okay.
With regard to comments about concerning the discussion with the President Swartman and Vice President Burby, should we send those to you?
Go ahead and send any questions or concerns to the President Swartman directly. And he may contact me or he may contact you directly. If I receive any further information to distribute to the GPSA, I'll be distributing that as soon as it gets to me. Hopefully I will get that budget information that they mentioned, and I can distribute that out to members so that everyone can see it. But yeah, if you have comments or questions for President Scorton, I encourage everyone to email him either at thepresident1 or david.scorton. I've never tried to email him at those email addresses, so I can't speak to how frequently he replies, but that would be the best way to get it to him.
So they were talked during the office hour about like addressing the issue of safety. So one of the things that brought up is actually having the, I think it's called Big Red Shuttle, running not just in the finals week, but during regular, like during like just throughout the semester. So one of the problems they're having now is they don't have enough budget, and there has been there's going to be ongoing talk about how can we get the funding. Maybe just have a shuttle for late night where students don't have to walk home by themselves. Yeah.
One more comment with regard to the lighting situation. I know that other universities across the country have campus lighting plans that go along with the architectural plans or campus plan documents. It could be something Cornell might consider. Additionally, any future lighting properties and sort of dark sky compliance might be pretty cut off, you know, to conserve or prevent rather light pollution.
I'll say that with a lot of these campus infrastructure things, there is the Campus Infrastructure Committee of the University Assembly, and they, you know, it's part of their charge to look at all these issues. So if you have an interest in all these types of transportation, lighting types of issues, I encourage you to contact them at the University Assembly, because that's sort of, they're the ones charged with these types of issues more than we are. Though, of course, we can always bring these concerns to the administration ourselves.
I actually did the lightning walk last fall, but they, that I think Chris and Sorkin talked about briefly. There weren't a ton of people who came up for it. It was sent around and just seeing they actually sent out the team like that in there with all the other stuff that we talked about. But it was really good. In my experience, like we were in the university, as far as like there's some police officers there, officer Beverly Van Cleveland, I heard. We walked around for a bit. They were very, very receptive to everything that we were suggesting. There was an engineer from lighting who does all the lighting on campus. He came out and chatted with us for a little bit. We told him all our concerns, and you know, we got everything laid out. I think as far as the university is concerned, they're very, very aware of like of wanting students to come on board and to contact, particularly to contact CPG directly. They will get that. Very quickly. I think the issue is like we mentioned speed bumps. That's something that's a little different, trickier, because that's going to be from the transfer to the city. In that case, I would recommend contacting two representatives that represent College Town directly from City Council. You can find them on the website. I would contact them directly about speed bumps and things like that, because necessarily trying to go through someone else, that would probably, my experience would get your voice heard more clear that way, and there's kind of an imbalance between the number of permanent residents and people in Ithaca who are having direct access to the city council versus what the students who are aware of that. And I think you're wondering where all the students are and where their voices are, and if you just came in and said, hey, you know, we're going to keep on to this next, it would be very receptive to that as well. So I don't know the name of the topic.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else for open forum?
This has been a production of Cornell University. You're on the web at cornell.edu.
I know. Seems there's also a second. All right. We are adjourned.